those of you tuning in for the Davis Nimmer in the Morning Show. The guys will be back tomorrow morning with their regular program. But today we have a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, host of Minnesota Military Radio, which can be heard Sunday mornings on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 at 7 a.m. or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. This hour, we're going to be joined by Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg from the Minnesota National Guard. We'll have an opportunity to speak to Governor Dayton, and at 8:20, we'll be reading and remembering the names of our fallen Minnesota service members at 8:20 today. But before we get started, we have a special message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Minnesotans have served and died in conflicts ranging from the Battle of Gettysburg to our present-day conflicts. And though Memorial Day is set aside to remember those who have died, it is also a day for us to honor their lives and their service. I encourage you to go out into your community tomorrow and attend an event sponsored by your local veterans organizations. Meet the veterans there and listen to their stories. Most importantly, on this Memorial Day, I want you to know that freedom is not free. Please take a moment from your picnics and barbecues this year to remember that many brave Americans died in order for us to live the lives we have in this great.
Thank you, General Nash. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is the Command Sergeant Major from the Minnesota National Guard, Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg.
Good morning, Tom.
Welcome back to the show, ma'am.
Thank you. It's always great to be here.
We just heard a message from General Nash, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. He's going to be out today, and I understand he's going to be over at Richfield helping them commemorate a new facility.
He is. He's going to be at the Richfield Honoring All Veterans Memorial today. So that should be a really great event. He's going to be speaking at 2 p.m.
2 p.m. It should be a great event. I've seen pictures of it. It looks like a beautiful monument. And,
yes.
Still under construction. And it says here, bring chairs. It's going to be a great event. No rain, I hope.
And
go on over and listen to the Adjutant General. Sergeant Major, I wanted to just talk a few minutes about the Minnesota National Guard. The Minnesota National Guard, for anyone that listens to this show, knows that they have a joint mission. There's a state mission and a federal mission. Can you explain that to us briefly?
Sure. We're actually really unique in the military in that we do have both missions. We have a community mission as well, so we kind of talk about our third mission, too. Our federal mission basically is the president is in charge of the Minnesota National Guard when we're federalized. And that's when we go overseas to, most recently, like Iraq and Afghanistan. Our state mission, we're in control, the governor is in control of us. And that's when we do things around the state, like fighting floods and fires and anything else that we might be needed for in the state. And then obviously our community mission is when we go around and help other places in the community that might need our assistance. And all the community members who have been so good to us with the Yellow Ribbon Networks as well.
So you actually report to the governor of the state of Minnesota, and then when the federal mission comes along, then you belong to the Pentagon.
We do.
Sergeant Major, you are the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. Can you explain that to civilians? What does that mean?
Sure, Tom. Basically, I'm in charge of the civilian or the enlisted force. Basically, all of the Army and Air who are enlisted across the force. So I do things like take care of the morale, the training, the readiness, anything having to do with the care and training and readiness of our enlisted force. So we have just under 14,000 across Minnesota. And so it's a really big force, but it's a fun job.
I know that we've had a lot of deployments since September 11th, 2001. And the last numbers I saw were somewhere around 26,000 in 35 countries, and some of your soldiers and airmen have been deployed 2, 3, 4, or 5 times.
Yes.
Is it possible there's a single airman or soldier that doesn't know when they sign the and raise their hand to be in the Minnesota National Guard that they're going to be deployed?
I think that's pretty rare, if there's anyone who doesn't believe that.
They all know and understand.
Yes, they do. And our deployments have really dwindled in the last year or so. And we're actually down to about 350 on average that are deployed right now, as opposed to last year where we had over 3,000 deployed. But I think everybody knows that when they raise their hand that they could be deployed.
And they come back anyway.
Absolutely, they do.
Something we should remember, I think, on Memorial Day is that we are represented now. The military represents, I'm told, less than 1% of our society. And yet they're highly trained. The readiness status is terrific. Mm-hmm. And they keep coming back and they keep deploying. Can you explain that?
I can. I think people join the military for different reasons than people would join another organization. They really want to do something bigger than themselves, something that's important and something that's going to make a difference, not only in their life, but in the lives of other people. And our soldiers and airmen absolutely do that every single day. And that's why they keep coming back. And we don't have an issue with recruiting. We recruit very well in Minnesota, even though we've been at war for the last 12 years. So I think that's a testament to the caliber of people we have in Minnesota.
And here in Minnesota, the Minnesota National Guard started the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, which started out as a reintegration program, didn't it?
It did, yes. When our 1st Brigade Combat Team was coming back from their first deployment, actually that whole initiative got started so that we'd have a way to bring our soldiers and airmen back better than how we've done that in the past. As you know, being a Vietnam vet, we didn't always do that well. And so there was a huge initiative put together to try to do that better. And it's grown and grown, and organizations and communities all across Minnesota have really stepped up to embrace our soldiers and airmen.
So you're doing a little more than just giving us a ticket and saying go home? That's how they took care of us back then.
I know.
You actually have a 30, 60, 90-day reintegration events for your soldiers and airmen, but you also take care of the families, because when the soldier airman's been gone for 6 months or a year, the families learn how to cope without that soldier airman. And when they come back, both sides have to reintegrate, don't they?
Yeah, they do. We actually start that early with family prep academies way before soldiers even deploy. So we start getting the family involved with the organization and with their units way before they deploy so that they know what they're going to expect and how to get the resources they might need when their soldier is gone. But then while their soldier's gone, we also have different events and organizations to get together with the family to help them cope and to find resources that they might need. And then they're also involved in the 30 and 60 day upon the return of their soldier or airman.
Sergeant Major, we just got a minute left before we take a break. What does Memorial Day mean to you and to our Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen?
I think it's important. We always look forward and we're always looking at the next thing and how to train for the next thing and be ready. But sometimes we have to take a step and look back. And look where we've come from as an organization and look who has made the sacrifices that allow us to be where we are and to keep moving forward. And that's really what today is about.
Sergeant Major, when we come back, we're going to be talking to a Gold Star mother of one of the Minnesota fallen since 9/11/2001. And we're going to read and remember the names of all the Minnesota service members that we've lost since September 11, 2001. This is a special edition, a Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us.
Is the Twin Cities News Talk Station, because the First Amendment is a terrible thing to waste.
Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined in this third hour of the show by Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg from the Minnesota National Guard. And joining us now from Washington, D.C. is a Gold Star mom. And Jill Stevenson, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I understand this is a special pilgrimage for you each year at Memorial Day.
It is. It is, because my son, Corporal Ben Kopp, is laid to rest here at Arlington in Section 60. And being a Minnesota resident, I made a promise to Ben that I would come out here at least 2 times a year, Memorial Day being one of those holidays that I make sure I get here and visit him.
Jill, are you comfortable telling us what happened to your son?
Sure. Ben was an Army Ranger who was on his third tour of duty in Afghanistan. He had done 2 prior in Iraq, and this was spring of 2009. He was wounded by a sniper when his unit was trying to free up a sniper team of the Rangers. They were being held back by Taliban snipers, and he was shot in the leg, transported through Afghanistan all the way to Landstuhl, landed at Walter Reed 4 days later, and that is where he passed away.
That must have been the toughest day of your life, ma'am.
Most definitely. It was a tough period of time because he was wounded on the 10th of July, and he died on the 18th of July, but his funeral did not take place at Arlington until the 7th of August, and so it was about a month of some very serious trial, I guess you could say.
Jill, I understand that even with your son's death, his heart still beats on. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Ben was an organ donor. He chose to be an organ donor, and so after he died, his organs were donated to people in the D.C. area, but we were able to donate his heart to a friend of my cousin by a very miraculous set of circumstance. And that woman, her name is Judy Meikle. She lives in suburban Chicago, just celebrated her 61st birthday this past Friday.
That's amazing. Jill, I understand that you've got an event coming up to remember Ben that will benefit some good causes.
I do. It's the third annual Ben Cop Memorial Ride. It takes place July 12th and 13th out of Bogart's Place in Apple Valley. And over the last 2 years, we've raised $25,000 for the polytrauma unit at the VA and for the PTSD unit. This year, our donations are going to some of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks in our communities and then also to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Jill, it's amazing that you've turned an event like this into something positive and to help benefit our Minnesota military families with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Thank you, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for your service, too.
Me to be on and to share Ben's story.
Thank you, ma'am. It was
thank
Jill
you.
Stevenson, the Gold Star Mother on Minnesota Military Radio. We have a solemn but important task ahead. 97 soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who have lost their lives serving us overseas since 9/11. It is by speaking their names and telling their stories that their memories live on. Here are our names. Army Major Curtis D. Feisner, White Bear Lake.
Army PFC Edward J. Hergett from Shakopee.
Army Staff Sergeant Brian R. Hellerman, Freeport.
Army Staff Sergeant Dale A. Panchett, Northam.
Army Chief Warrant Officer Patrick Dorf, Buffalo.
Marine Corps PFC Matthew G. Milzark, Kettle River.
Marine Corps Corporal Tyler R. Fay, Eden Prairie.
Marine Corps PFC Moise L. Langhorst, Moose Lake.
Marine Corps Lance Corporal Levi T. Angel, Cloquet.
Army Specialist James J. Holmes, East Grand Forks.
Army Corporal Demetrius L. Rice, Ortonville.
Navy Petty Officer 3rd Class David A. Cedergren, South St. Paul.
Army Specialist Daniel James McConnell, Duluth.
Army Specialist Dwayne J. McFarlane, Cass Lake.
Army Sergeant Michael C. Carlson, St. Paul.
Army Sergeant 1st Class Mickey E. Zahn, Brooklyn Park.
Army 1st Lieutenant Jason G. Timmerman, Tracy.
Army Sergeant Jesse M. Lotka, Alexandria.
Army Staff Sergeant David F. Day, St. Louis Park.
Army Specialist Travis R. Bruce, Byron.
Marine Corps Captain Kelly C. Hinz, Woodbury.
Army Chief Warrant Officer 4, Matthew Scott Lowry, East Bethel.
Army Chief Warrant Officer Corey J. Goodnature, Clark's Grove.
Marine Corps Sergeant Brian J. Opskar, Princeton.
Army Sergeant 1st Class Michael A. Benson, Winona.
Army PFC Eldon D. Arkin, White Bear Lake.
Army Specialist Jacob T. Vanderbosch, Badness Heights.
Marine Corps Master Sergeant Brett E. Angus, St. Paul.
Marine Corps Lance Corporal Scott T. Modine, Hennepin.
Marine Corps Corporal Anthony T. McElveen, Little Falls.
If you are just joining us, welcome to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. Please join us as we continue to read the names of our Minnesota fallen. Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Kenneth B. Hopspiel.
Army Corporal Andrew J. Kempel, Cambridge.
Marine Corps Lance Corporal Robert G. Posivio, III, Sherburne.
Marine Corps Captain Nathaniel J. Doring, Apple Valley.
Army Specialist Brent W. Koch, Morton.
Army Specialist Kyle R. Miller, Wilmer.
Army Specialist Troy C. Linden, Detroit Lakes.
Army Specialist Keeksing Lee, Minneapolis.
Army Sergeant Joshua R. Hansen, Dent.
Marine Corps Corporal Jonathan L. Benson, North Branch.
Army Staff Sergeant Kevin M. Whitty Beardsley.
Army Specialist Corey J. Rystad, Red Lake Falls.
Army Specialist Brian T. McDonough, Maplewood.
Army PFC Nicholas D. Kurtot, Maple Grove.
Army Sergeant James M. Wasika, Jr., St. Paul.
Army Sergeant Major Michael C. Mateo, West St. Paul.
Army Sergeant William J. Beardsley, Coon Rapids.
Marine Corps Sergeant Chad M. Allen, Maple Lake.
Army Sergeant Greg N. Rewer, Frazee.
Army Specialist Sean K. McDonald, Rosemont.
Marine Corps Lance Corporal Daniel R. Olson, Egan.
Army Corporal Connor G. Masterson, Woodbury.
Army Sergeant Joshua A. Schmidt, Wilmer.
Army Specialist Robert J. Dixon, Minneapolis.
Army Sergeant Jason A. Schumann, Hawley.
Army PFC Anthony D. Hebert, Lake City.
Army Staff Sergeant Jacob M. Thompson, North Mankato.
Army Staff Sergeant Andrew P. Nelson, Moorhead.
Army Staff Sergeant First Class John J. Tobiasen, Bloomington.
Army Specialist Randy W. Pickering, Bovee.
Once again, if you're just joining us, welcome to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. Please join us as we continue to read the names of our Minnesota fallen. Army PFC Joshua R. Anderson, Jordan.
Army Sergeant First Class Matthew R. Kaler, Granite Falls.
Army Specialist Gregory B. Rundell, Ramsey.
Army Specialist Jacob J. Fairbanks, St. Paul.
Army Staff Sergeant Brian E. Stewart, Ramsey.
Army Chief Warrant Officer Philip E. Wendorski, Jr., Mbovi.
Army Specialist Chester W. Hosford, Hastings.
Army Specialist Carlos E. Wilcox IV, Cottage Grove.
Army Specialist James D. Ortish, Bolivia.
Army Specialist Daniel P. Drevnik, Woodbury.
Air Force Captain Thomas J. Gramath, Egan.
Army Corporal Benjamin S. Kopp, Rosemont.
Army PFC Jonathan C. Yanni, Litchfield.
Army Staff Sergeant Todd W. Siege, Burnsville.
Army Major Tad T. Hervis, Coon Rapids.
Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Aaron J. Taylor, Bovee.
Army Specialist George W. Colley, Walker.
Marine Corps Lance Corporal Curtis M. Swenson, Rochester.
Army Sergeant Kurt E. Cruz, Hancock.
Air Force Major Randall D. Boas, Lakeville.
Army First Lieutenant Christopher S. Gokey.
Army Specialist Matthew J. Johnson, Maplewood.
Marine Corps Master Sergeant Daniel L. Fetter, Pine City.
Army Chief Warrant Officer Jonah D. McClellan, St. Louis Park.
Army PFC Ryan G. Clark, New London.
Marine Corps Corporal Sean A. Osterman, Princeton.
Army Specialist Andrew G. Wolfert, Rosemont.
Army Specialist Joseph A. Kennedy, St. Paul.
Army Specialist Emilio J. Campo, Jr., Medelia.
Marine Corps Sergeant Chad D. Frochter, Maplewood.
Marine Corps Lance Corporal Robert S. Greniger, Greenfield.
Navy Petty Officer 2nd Class, SEAL, Nicholas P. Spehar, St. Paul.
Navy Chief Petty Officer, SEAL, John W. Foss, Minneapolis.
Army Sergeant Matthew A. Harmon, Bagley.
Army Sergeant Nicholas M. Dickett, Rochester.
Marine Corps Corporal Taylor J. Vaughn, Andover.
And Marine Corps Corporal Dale W. Means, Jordan. These are the names of Minnesota's 97 soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that have lost their lives since 9/11. Today we remember them and speak their names to ensure their memory is never lost. I would invite you to take time today to learn about one of these fine Americans. We'll have a link to the full list on our website, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Our fallen are missed, but never forgotten. This is our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We'll be back in a moment with Governor Mark Dayton. Please stay with us. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and my co-host this hour has been Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg from the Minnesota National Guard. And we're pleased to welcome Governor Mark Dayton joining the show right now. Governor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Good morning, Governor.
Morning, City.
Governor, I understand you've got some speaking events today.
Well, I'll be at the speaking of the Memorial Day ceremony at Fort Snelling, which is an annual event I always look forward to. It's quite a gathering of people. It's very inspiring.
And, Governor, what do you plan on telling the veterans, military members, and families that are in attendance today?
Just we owe them a debt of eternal gratitude for their patriotic service, for giving up their lives for that period of time and saying goodbye to their families, going off and putting themselves at risk to protect our freedoms and our way of life. And, that, of course, those that did that and turned out to be forever are ones that we especially remember today, those that we know personally and love, and those many more that we don't know, but know what they did on our behalf.
Governor, can you share with us how has Memorial Day impacted your life?
It's really a somber day. It gives me a pause to remember how incredibly fortunate I am and we are to be born in the United States of America and have a chance to live in this country, having been to Iraq three times, Afghanistan, and DMZ and the Korean border. I mean, I realize that most of the people on this planet are not as fortunate as we to grow up in a country with the liberties that we just assume are going to automatically be there, and to think carefully about how, you know, we each have a responsibility to do our part to make sure this country remains free and remains strong.
Governor, I know a top priority for your administration has been employing our veterans. Why should Minnesota employers hire veterans today?
Well, they're one of the smartest, hardest working, most disciplined, and ready to go to work people that we have anywhere in the state. And when our guards, men and women, have been over in Kuwait the previous year, some of the executives from different companies went over, Target, U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, others, to help them write resumes and the like. It was found that over 20% of them were coming back from serving their country and for a year and didn't have a job. So it just seems very unfair that they who worked so hard to protect us come back and don't have work for themselves to feed their families. So, a lot of the companies have pitched in and hired veterans, and I think they're very satisfied with the results.
That's right, Governor. And because of all that hard work, we've reduced that unemployment rate to less than 2% now with that unit. So that's been great. I also understand.
That's a fantastic result. All of you working in the Guard deserve great credit for that.
Absolutely. I understand your administration and the legislature have been staunch supporters of providing higher education benefits for National Guard members. What benefits will this bring to the state and the future generations?
Well, of course, everyone knows what the GI Bill did for the Greatest Generation after they came back from World War II. And this is a more modest scale, but we did expand it to 2 years ago in a bipartisan way. And I should say that the support for our veterans and veteran services is strongly bipartisan throughout the state legislature, as it should be. But we expanded the Minnesota GI Bill to include all generations of veterans, not just as it was previously, those who served on or after 9/11. And, we want, again, to encourage veterans to get the best possible education so that they can provide continuing service to our state and their communities, and also achieve the maximum that they can and that they certainly deserve after their service to our country.
And that's going to be a great help to letting them get there.
Yes, I think it'll, again, many leave in situations of poverty and have no assets to count on, and they may put away a little bit of that military pay, but not much, and they come back home, and especially after a month or two of unemployment, it's a tough for them to make it. So any financial help we can give, they've certainly earned and rightfully deserve.
Well, thank you, Governor. Aside from the assistance gaining employment, what other actions are Minnesota state agencies doing to assist our veterans?
Well, we expanded funding for the county veteran service officers. They are real stalwarts all over the state. In the small offices, sometimes they operate as one-person shops, but they are there for the veterans of their counties. They take them to appointments at various medical centers. They reach out to those in need. If someone passes, they're there to comfort the family, the bereaving. And they just do tremendous work. So we've increased funding there. Also provided permanent funding for the Minnesota Honor Guard so that detachment can be at every veteran's funeral who requests one. And that's very important to the veterans, to their families. It's often their one last request is that there be a formal honor guard at their burial service, and we'll be able to carry that out. They and the Honor Guard and the Patriot Guard are just really incredible. They're just there faithfully and standing strong for those who made the ultimate sacrifice. And I'm just really, really grateful to them for the work they do.
This is a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130. I've been joined this hour by my co-host, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, and Governor Mark Dayton. Governor, throughout this legislative session that just finished, you remain committed to funding the next phase of the Minneapolis Veterans Home. I understand the funding for the completion of the home project was included in the bonding bill that was signed into law by you this last week. Can you tell us what that project means to our veterans here in Minnesota?
Well, we get part of it, and I'm pleased for that. We the scaled-back version of the bonding bill, and it shows the priority that veterans have for Minnesota, but the $19 million was included for that. It's about a $51 million Phase 3 project, and I put in for the entire $51 million in my budget recommendation because the federal government, which would be the source of the rest of the funding, has had its budget for that area cut back quite severely by over two-thirds. So we'll apply now, or the Department of Veterans Services will apply for the federal funding, but I think the chances are not good that there'll be money available for the project, which case we'll be back to the legislature next legislative session for the additional bonding necessary to do the whole project, which means it'll be effectively delayed by a year, but you know we'll get there.
Governor,
very important to really enhance the quality of the operation there, the safety, the quality of services, and so it's a very, very important project.
Governor, what can Minnesotans do to show their support for veterans and our service members?
I think by a license plate, through the Department of Public Safety, they can buy a Minnesota license plate that has honors our veterans. It says support us, to support our troops. License plate. I've got one on my car. It's a very handsome plate, and that would be a good way to help. It helps fund some of the programs that are run through the Department of Veterans Affairs, and it also supports the activities of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, which has been a very, very important program. One of the Minnesota National Guard a few years ago pioneered nationally, became the first state in the country to launch this program, recognizing that our heroic men and women who come back from Iraq or Afghanistan, their families and their communities and their jobs are just suddenly left on their own. And it's a huge readjustment from being combat ready and on alert every second of every day and night to going back to normal civilian life. So the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program has been just a wonderful way for communities and corporations and churches and others to get involved and support our veterans when they do return home. And that's another area where it'd be just, it's really, the license plate program really helps support that.
It's been great to have the Yellow Ribbon Network really support all of our returning veterans and soldiers and airmen. I agree with that, Governor.
Yeah, thank you, Cindy. You know, it's a very powerful program. I've been to most of them are around the state. They're honoring or bestowing on these communities the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Award, and it's an ongoing program. They're not doing this just to get the yellow ribbon. They're really geared up and ready to support their veterans in an ongoing way. And you see people from all different parts of the community, from all different backgrounds and responsibilities, who've come together and worked very hard together for many months to complete the tasks necessary. And they're really well attuned to the needs of especially those who are returning from Afghanistan and Iraq, who gone through the horrors of the previous 12 to 18 months, been separated from their family. Their family's been separated from them. And just a lot to deal with coming right back. And now this program is so successful that it's been expanded. The Minnesota model has been expanded nationwide, and I think most other states have this. But the Minnesota National Guard was the pioneer and deserves great credit. Commissioner Shalito back then, and the Adjutant General, and now Adjutant General Richard Nash have really been stalwarts at recognizing the needs of our returning veterans and responding to them.
Governor, what message would you like to relay to families listening that have lost a loved one in service to our country and state?
Well, we owe you a debt of gratitude that we can never repay, that we today share your loss and along with you honor the supreme sacrifice that they made on our behalf. We wouldn't be the country that we are, strong and secure and free, if it weren't for those brave women and men who made the ultimate sacrifice. And now it's unfortunately a heavy burden left to their families to carry on without them. But know that we love you, and we are deeply, deeply grateful, and that we'll never forget those who gave their lives on our behalf.
Governor, thanks for joining us on this Memorial Day show.
Thank you, and have a good Memorial Day.
That was Governor Mark Dayton on our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We'll be right back to wrap up the last 15 minutes of this special Memorial Day program. Please stay with us. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. For those of you that were tuning in for Davis Nemmer in the morning, the guys will be back tomorrow morning with their regular program. My name is Tom Lyons, and I'm the host of Minnesota Military Radio, which can be heard Sunday mornings on News Talk at 7 a.m. or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. And for all of those of you that go out of town on a regular basis, we've built a Minnesota Military Radio network. We're now on 12 stations around the state. And wherever you go on the weekends, if you can't hear us, just have your local station go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and contact us. We'll make the content available. My guest co-host this hour has been Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg from the Minnesota National Guard. And we wanted to end up with a special clip today. In February, we were honored to have a special guest on the show, General John W. Vesey Jr., who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs under Ronald Reagan. He actually started in the Minnesota National Guard in 1939 and went to World War II with the Red Bulls and received a battlefield commission. Served 46 years in the military. At that time, I think it was the longest serving soldier in the military. And after that, President Reagan appointed him as a special emissary to Hanoi to track down our KIAs, killed in actions and missing in action. And we've got a special clip we want to play for you about the fact that he was in Vietnam as well as after World War II. He went to Vietnam. He was a battalion commander there. He was involved in a battle that was important. And let's listen to this clip, and then, Sergeant Major, you can react to it afterwards.
Okay.
We thought we were fighting a Viet Cong regiment. And I found out later, during the time I was doing the negotiations with the Vietnamese on the POW business, I met the commander who was the commander on the other side at that battle. By that time, he had become the new Vice Minister of Defense. And he explained to me that it was not a Viet Cong regiment. It was, in fact, a North Vietnamese division that we were fighting against that particular day.
Well, sir, was that 1967 when your battalion was nearly overrun by an enemy in a six-hour-long assault?
Yes.
And I understand you did something unusual with your howitzers.
Yes. Well, it was at least it was unusual for for latter-day artillery. I think if you go back to when artillery was first used, I think it was the Battle of Crecy, when several hundred years later at the Civil War, cannons were fired, direct fire, but we wound up again firing cannons, direct fire at very close range during that battle.
Which for an Air Force guy means you've pulled them down to the ground and fired them directly into the enemy.
Indeed. And by that time, we had a munition that helped us do that. It was called the Beehive munition, and it was a munition designed exactly for that experience. And it actually turned the howitzer shell into a mini shotgun shell. It was loaded with flechettes and had an extra explosive charge in the shell itself to propel the flechettes. They were about like a 10-penny nail with fins on them to stabilize them, and they'd scatter out. And of course, one shell would cover considerable area.
When you met the North Vietnamese commander after the war, when you were on your recovery efforts, did he mention anything about that?
He did. It was a strange meeting. We had had the plenary session in the morning, which they're always fairly formal, where both sides read what their governments want them to say. And then we were at lunch, and I was sitting next to this fellow who was the new vice minister of defense, and this Vietnamese officer said, "You don't know me, but I know you." And by this time, I had been in and out of Hanoi for 6 years, and there was always some publicity on their TV station or in their newspaper about my visits, and I thought he knew me because of that. And then he immediately went on to say, "You were the American commander at the Battle of Sui Tre, and I was commanding the Vietnamese 9th Division during that battle." And he said, "You killed a lot of my men that day." And I said, "You killed a lot of my men that day." And then he went on to say that the war was over, we needed to resolve the differences between our two countries.
Sergeant Major, I thought that was a fascinating story of a bloody battle in Vietnam. I was in the Air Force. I don't know, but he thought a regiment was attacking him. How many troops in a regiment?
A lot, but the division has a lot more.
So, division, that's what I thought.
And he had a battalion, so maybe it's good he didn't know he was up against a division that maybe would have psyched him out a little bit.
And I thought that for those two gentlemen to meet years later when they're tracking down the MIAs and KIAs and to say the things they said, you killed a lot of my men and you killed a lot of mine too, but then to put it behind them.
Well, I can't imagine how that meeting went when they first figured out who each other were and what was going through their mind, probably a thousand things at once. But I think it took great courage and a lot of maturity to actually talk about putting it behind them. Especially having lived through it, it's one thing to read about it or know about it, but lived through it and then agree to put that behind you, I think that says a lot. And I think that's something that we can take looking at Memorial Day today. Obviously, we can't ever forget. That's really important. But I think it's important to put it behind us such that we can continue to live our life. I think we have an obligation to those who gave their life that we need to live ours to the fullest to honor their sacrifice.
It's a lot like Memorial Day. It's really all about healing and remembering.
Absolutely.
We can't ever forget those who have fallen, those who have fought so hard for our freedom and for our ability to have three-day weekends and picnics and the freedom that we have. And it's I thought that story from General Vesey was very educational. And if he can do that after that serious and bloody a battle and put it behind him and track down our MA and KIA, the rest of us should be able to remember and continue as well.
It's a great testament for all of the other battles and situations that we've been in. Hopefully we can all do that.
Sergeant Major, we're just coming down to the end of the show. I know that this is just the start of your day.
It is.
What else is on your agenda?
I'll be going from here to Golden Valley City Hall to do a Memorial Day speech. So that should be fun. They're having a bunch of the surrounding community there for a ceremony. And so I'm looking forward to that.
And is that your last stop?
That is.
And once again, we have the Adjutant General is going to be over at Richfield, honoring all veterans memorial. It's a brand new memorial that they built, and As I recall, that starts at 2 p.m. this afternoon, and they're expecting a good crew. I've seen photos of that. It's a beautiful memorial.
It is.
And I'm sure General Nash will have some great things to say for us on Memorial Day.
Yes, he will.
Sergeant Major, we're almost out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about Memorial Day?
I hope everyone really enjoys this day off of work, but take some time to just look back and remember, too, and honor people's sacrifice, and then go have your barbecues after you do that.
Thanks for joining us today, Sergeant Major.
Thank you.
It's been quite a show and quite a morning, and it's in the morning's gone by quickly. Once again, this has been our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. These shows aren't something where you just turn on a microphone and come in and perform. It takes a lot of time and a lot of scheduling. I'd like to thank Staff Sergeant Ben Houtcooper for all of his time that he puts in to help arrange for the interviews and keeping me out of trouble, and also Adam Tilsner. Adam, you do a great job in the control room. And I'd also like to thank Clear Channel and Twin Cities Newstalk, AM 1130, for giving us the opportunity to be on the air today. As I've said several times during the morning, this is the Davis and Emmer in the Morning show from 6 to 9 a.m. The guys will be back tomorrow morning with their regular program. And we've been very happy to fill in for them today on Memorial Day to bring some information and background about the origins of Memorial Day in Gettysburg. And I'd like to thank our guests, Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, Commissioner Larry Shalado from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg from the Minnesota National Guard, and of course Senator Klobuchar and Governor Dayton for joining us today. This is Memorial Day, and we urge each of you on Memorial Day to observe a national moment of remembrance, which takes place at 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you could remember those who have fallen, remember those who have given their all in service to our country, in between visiting with family and traveling around the state and probably coming back from your vacation homes, if you could just pull over and think about it for a minute at 3 o'clock, take a moment, talk to your children, talk to your family, whoever's with you, and remember those who have served and those who have given their all in service of our country. I'd like to thank you for listening today to this special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, and encourage you to tune us in every Sunday morning on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 at 7 a.m. for the next edition of Minnesota Military Radio, or you can catch us online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week and every week, and thank you for joining us on this very special Memorial Day.